Okay, turn with me tonight, again, to Acts chapter 2. We've been talking about Baptist churches, Baptist truths that they're Bible truths. There really is no difference between Baptist truth and Bible truth. If it's really Baptist truth, it's Bible truth. And that, in that sense, It is not only the truth, it is also exclusive. It excludes other religious systems that are not based on the Bible. And because they're not based on the Bible, they're going to have different names. They're going to be called Presbyterian or Episcopalian or Lutheran or many other such names. Today, you know, people say, once in a while, people say, well, I go to a non-denominational church. I was in a barber shop one day, and the barber said, well, I go to a non-denominational church. I said, there's no such thing. There's no such thing as non-denominational. I tell you exactly what they believe by using the title non-denominational. And Heath had a great little presentation on truth the other night at Set Free. You know, truth is truth. That means it's exclusive of all other false truths. All right? And so let's think about... Tonight we're going to talk about the Lord's table. We talked about that the Lord's table is a Baptist table. Okay? That would be quite offensive to some, but according to the Bible, the Lord's table is a Baptist table. Now, let's look at the scriptures here, and we'll talk about it. Not only is it a Baptist table, but it is a local church Baptist table. Okay? You'll have many radio preachers. They will say, well, let's have communion today over the airwaves, you know, and they'll have the Lord's Supper over the airwaves. Well, there's a couple problems with that. You'll find out why those are wrong. if you are not a Baptist, or if you are a Baptist and have Catholic thinking, you will think that maybe the pastor should bring you the Lord's Supper in the hospital. Or if you're an invalid, you should have the pastor come and have the Lord's Supper at your house. Now, that might be possible if you invite the church with the pastor, but that is totally Catholic in its thinking. It's not Bible. Totally Catholic. I knew a Baptist preacher who did it, though. And he had his little communion set, and he went to the invalids, I knew somebody that had attended our church but wouldn't come again after I would not give her the Lord's Supper in the hospital. She thought she was dying, so that was very offensive to her. So we'll talk about the Lord's table is a Baptist table, and it's a local church table. Okay? So let's look at a couple, see how these coincide with the Bible. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word. He was preaching Christ, that Christ was the Son of God, that he was the one that God hath made both Lord and Christ. And he told them to repent, and for those to repent, to be baptized. And then in verse 41, it says, then they that gladly received his word, they were baptized. And the same day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And so they were saved, and then they were baptized. And they, as a consequence of baptism, they were added to the New Testament church there at Jerusalem. And the Bible says, and they, that's those saved, baptized believers, members of the church at Jerusalem, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, what does breaking of bread stand for? Fellowship meal? Sandwiches? Snack? What is breaking of bread representative of? Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper. Breaking of bread. Okay? If you go to the Plymouth Brethren Church, Plymouth Brethren, they say, and Sunday night we have the breaking of the bread. And so every Sunday night, the Plymouth Brethren have the breaking of the bread. Okay? Breaking of the bread is symbolical of the Lord's Supper. But notice the order. Saved, baptized, church members, walking in fellowship with God, with the other believers. They, every once in a while it comes up and they talk about, well, Pastor, we just really believe that you get saved, you got to be baptized right away. Well, I have no problem with that if the other half follows the Bible too. And the other half of the Bible is this. Those that were baptized, they continued in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, that's the partnership with the gospel, and in breaking of bread, that's the Lord's Supper, and in prayer. It's not that they had 9 months to decide to come to prayer meeting. It's not that they had 2 years to decide to become a soul winner. It's not that they decided to come to church every once in a while on Sunday morning. No, the Bible says that those that were saved, they would join the church, and they, those that were saved, baptized, joined the church, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. That's the partnership with the gospel, the Great Commission. And that means they're out soul winning. And if you don't do that, you should, because that's what the Bible's teaching. And breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper. And then, of course, it says prayer. And that says that's the kind of life that they lived. And I have no problem. I think it's great if a person gets saved and they're ready to live that lifestyle. Let's put the water in the tank, folks. But let's not take one half of the Bible and throw out the other half just because it works good. This is what the Bible says. We need to follow the Bible. All right, now, so if you were a Presbyterian, you wouldn't qualify for the Lord's Supper. And in fact, if you're a Presbyterian, you don't qualify for church membership. Because a Presbyterian is baptized, not really. Then if they're saved, they're saved. And then they join a church, but they've never been baptized by immersion. Doesn't fit the Bible, does it? Doesn't fit the Bible. Now, as we said last time, the whole issue is you can't have the Lord's Supper with a Presbyterian or a Lutheran or a Catholic. Why? Because they don't even qualify for church membership. And the Lord's Supper is for only for those who are church members. And it's only for those who are baptized church members. And it's only for those who've been saved and then baptized and then joined a New Testament church. Okay, so now, in this context, was the Lord's Supper for anyone? We already said no. But in this context, was the Lord's Supper for the local church? Well, obviously, there wasn't the church at... the church of Jericho yet, and there wasn't the church at Bethlehem yet. And so there's only one church, and the church was at Jerusalem, and that was the church that was having the Lord's Supper. Okay? Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 11. And 1 Corinthians 11 is... the teaching of the Bible on the Lord's Supper. And now as we go to 1 Corinthians 11, let's be reminded of who this was written to. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2, it says, "It is written unto the church of God, which is at Corinth." Okay? To the church of God, which is at Corinth. All right, now, in the Bible, every church member was first of all saved, and every church member was baptized. Now, in the Bible, do you ever find people joining a church? As such. You find anybody going to Corinth and joining the church at Corinth? I mean, do you ever read that? I mean, there's an epistle written to the church at Philippi. And there's a church at Philippi. But do we ever read about the people establishing a church in Philippi? We ever read that? We don't. What do we read? Well, we read people got saved. Lydia got saved, right? Philippian jailer got saved, right? Okay, so Lydia got saved, and Philippian jailer got saved, and the young girl got saved. Can't think of her name right now. Okay, and what happened to all of them? Does it say they joined the church? Nope. Does it say they were baptized? Yep, says they were baptized. And it says the church was established. Well, how is it established? It was established when they were baptized. Church is established when they were baptized. New Testament, baptism was your entrance into the New Testament church. So, when you talk about a church, you already know they all were baptized. Because you don't have a church that people weren't baptized by immersion after they were saved. So, whenever I talk to the church at Corinth, so we know we have saved people, we have baptized people. And now we're writing to them. And so the Apostle Paul is writing to them, those saved, baptized members at Corinth. He's writing to them about the Lord's Supper. Okay? So the Lord's Supper is not a generic meal. It's really, it's not, in one sense of the word, it's not for all Christians. Because in the Bible, it's only for Christians who've been baptized and joined a church. And in that sense, it is not a meal for Christians. Why? Because it's a meal for obedient Christians. It's a meal for Christians who are in communion with God. And according to the Bible, you aren't in communion with God. Now, I know this is offensive, but you aren't in communion with God like you ought to be if you're not a saved, baptized member of a church. And there's the picture. And, of course, we'll get to this, that the Lord's Supper is a picture of communion with God. Now, you can't have communion with God if you're not saved. If you're saved and you are saved now, God requires a believer, a true believer, a person who is a true believer, will want to obey Christ in everything, well, ought to, and they will be baptized. And when they're baptized, they will be baptized into a New Testament church. Now, we got things really mixed up today. You understand what I'm saying? It's really a big mess out there. And one of the reasons a big mess out there is because of infant baptism. Infant baptism is the culprit. It is a great enemy of the truth. And it's a great enemy of truth in many, 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 many ways. But why do, for instance, where did the Bible church come from? Bible church movement came from Congregationalists. And Congregationalists believe in infant sprinkling. But there's Congregationalists that were saved and great soul winners. And down in Chicago area, there was a great soul winner, and I'll get his name hopefully. And he had the great start of the Fisherman's Club. And the Congregational Church was going liberal, and so they said, well, we got to leave the Congregational Church. Let's start a new church. We'll call it Bible Church. Well, the problem was the pastor is a Congregationalist, and deacons were Congregationalists, and the people were Congregationalists, and they're going to start a Bible Church, but they aren't really going to start a Bible Church. Why? Because none of the people are baptized by immersion. And so they say, well, we'll avoid that problem. We'll call it a Bible church, but we won't require baptism for membership. Then we can solve, we can evade the problem. And so the Bible church movement started under those premises that don't have to have baptism to join the church. Now, there's other reasons today why Bible churches don't have baptism for membership. And I'm talking about the Bible church movement. And some churches are identifying with a movement that really they shouldn't be identifying with. It's kind of like people putting the name on their church, Christian Church, when people that are in the know mean know that the Christian denomination is a denomination that believes that baptism is necessary for salvation. And so the word Christian is not a good name for a church in America because it's promoting a false doctrine. But on the other hand, that's neither here nor there. So, church at Corinth. So with the Bible church movement, do you have to be baptized to take the Lord's Supper? Nope. Do you have to be baptized to join the church? Nope. Now you have a big mess, don't you? Call it a Bible church, but you aren't even following the Bible. And now you're messing up the two ordinances of the church, baptism and the Lord's Supper. And what can be more important in the organization of a church than the two ordinances the church has been given the authority to guard? The church has lost its whole purpose. Instead of guarding the ordinances, they're confusing the ordinances. Now, today we don't live in a day of truth. We don't live in a day which people care about the truth. And so people say, well, big deal. Who cares? Well, God cares. He gave us the Bible. And the truth is the truth and supposed to be followed. And people who are saved are supposed to be people of the truth. And they're supposed to care about the truth. That's part of being born again. You become people who love the truth. So, 1 Corinthians, you're written to saved, baptized members of the church at Corinth. And so you will see that the Lord's Supper in the New Testament is an ordinance for the New Testament church. Now let's go somewhere else in this passage of Scripture, and let's look at this in verse number 17. Now in this I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must also be heresies among you, errors, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Now think about it. He's saying that we have a problem here. The Lord's Supper is supposed to talk about the communion of the people of God with one another and with God. And what do they have? They don't have unity in the church. They have division. How can they even celebrate the Lord's Supper when there's not unity in the church? You see, Catholics bring, people with Catholic background bring their Catholic thinking into the Lord's house. And so I'm going to take the Lord's Supper tonight because, you know, that's kind of magic. And that's really important. And it doesn't matter that we have roast preacher at our house every Sunday night. And it doesn't matter that I don't like the church and I don't care about the pastor and I don't care what the church teaches. But you know, this is a Catholic thing and this is kind of magic and I'm going to do it. Whoa, whoa, whoa. 100% opposite what the Bible says. Now notice, he says, when you come together, verse 20, when ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. The emphasis is on the word eat. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What have ye not houses to eat and drink in, or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What have I say to you, what shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Then he goes on to the discourse about the Lord's Supper and its meaning. But notice verse 20, it says, when you come together. When was the Lord's Supper to be taken? Well, what does it say? When you come together. What is the word church? The word church is ekklesia. What does the word ekklesia mean? It means assembly. It means the congregation. It means the people of God who come together, who assemble together. That's the word church. And so when is the Lord's Supper taken? And they were abusing it, but when did they do it? When they came together. So you could have the Lord's Supper in the hospital, but what would have to happen? The church would have to come together. The church would have to decide that, okay, we're going to have a church vote on it, and church will vote to have the Lord's Supper at Waukesha Memorial Hospital, room 282. And so that we as a church can celebrate the Lord's Supper, because the Lord's Supper is not magic. The Lord's Supper is a picture of the unity of the people of God. It's a picture of the communion of the saints of God with God and with one another. And so we see that example in the New Testament. Notice it says, verse 29, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." And if you think about what it is talking about, what is the body that it's talking about? The local church. And notice he was rebuking them about the whole whole way in which they were observing the Lord's Supper, and how they didn't discern the Lord's body. There was heresies among them. There was divisions among them. What was that? What was that a problem to? It was a problem to the body. It was a problem to God's plan for the body. It was a problem to the fact that the body of believers are to be united. And what are we to be united in? We're to be united in communion with the Lord. And our communion one with another is based on our true communion with the Lord. So you will find that these simple texts are very simple but very straightforward. And they are pictures of the fact that the Lord's Supper is not only a Baptist table, but the Lord's Supper is a local church table. And the Bible does not picture the Lord's Supper outside of either one of those parameters. Always within the parameter of the New Testament church, local church, always within the parameter of a New Testament Baptist church. Now, when you think about it, all of a sudden you begin to realize, whoa. Things have really gotten far from the Bible, haven't they? Things have really gotten far, far from the Bible. You know, sometimes people say to me, well, you know, I don't believe in church. I says, well, you know, Jesus is the one who invented it. I don't know why we should have a problem with it. He's the one that invented it. You know, and the same thing about baptism, you know. There's only one kind of baptism. You know what? The only kind of baptism there is the baptism the Bible teaches. Anything else is something else, but it isn't baptism, really. I realize we have to use those terms for people to understand this, but really, there's only one kind of baptism. That baptism is in the Bible. And that baptism is for only for saved people. And that baptism is really only for people who are going to join the church. There is really no other baptism in the Bible. And religions and organizations and confusion have, you know, made all sorts of other things. But if we're going to be simple, simply go by the Bible, well, that's all there is. And the Lord's Supper, in that sense, is a Baptist table. It's not a pedo-Baptist table, infant baptizer. It's a New Testament church table. It's not a denominational table. It's none of those things. And maybe if we think about this, maybe you're here tonight and you're challenged. You know, you say, well, you know what? I'm really a believer. Well, guess what? a believer in God who's been really born again, the real key characteristic of a believer is that they hear His word. They want to obey the word of God. You see, we have people today who want to obey just parts of the Bible. You know, I'll take this and I'll obey it, and I'll take this and I'll obey it. But really, you think about it, baptism is really a symbol that, you know what, I want to obey all the Bible. I want to grow and obey the Lord in everything. And that is why the early believers, when they were baptized, they continued steadfastly the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. It was really what it was meant to be, a real identification with Jesus Christ. And a real identification with His death, burial, and resurrection. Real identification with His way. And His way was the New Testament church. That was His plan. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that You will bless this important truth. Help us to comprehend its simplicity, Lord, and not to be confused by all the religion and all the false teaching and practice that is out there and has been there for so long. But we thank You that Your word has never varied, and we thank You that, Lord, there have always been those who have followed the Bible in its simplicity. And, Lord, help us to be those kind of people ourselves in Jesus' name.